today on Real Radio.
No, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I could care less. I'm asking you, though, to read the Bible and believe it. Because there's such a big moving judgment these days by people coercing other people to despise Israel. You better watch out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 of God to the Rescue from Isaiah chapter 10, we learned that the Lord warns the people of Judah and Israel about how good people will suffer under bad leadership. But God always keeps His word. His hand is still outstretched to those who cry out to Him in their brokenness. Nations have made it their mission to destroy Israel, but it's God's mission to rescue His people. Now in chapter 11, we'll see how God is at work and has a plan for the nation of Israel and for us as Christians. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us how the Messiah will come from the branch of Jesse and the Spirit of God will rest upon him. This means the Messiah has two birthrights. He'll be born from the seed of David, who is the son of Jesse, and he'll be born the Son of God with the Spirit of holiness. Both birthrights point to one Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now continuing his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I said, listen, let's assume for a moment you're correct. According to the Bible, if we are a Christian nation, then it's guaranteed that we'll be judged by the Lord. Dr. Leonard Ravenhill said years ago, and I think Billy Graham echoed it, he said that if God does not judge America for its sin, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Dr. Ravenhill wrote in one of his books, he said, just remember this, Sodom had no Bible, and they were judged. They didn't know what was going on. God disciplined them. What I'm saying is this. A Christian nation does not escape the national judgment in that country for which it lives in. Christians have to suffer under national judgments. And that should not surprise you. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Daniel, for example? Have you ever heard of Jeremiah? Have you ever heard of these? Have you ever heard of Isaiah? The book we're in. Listen, these prophets were destroyed or imprisoned or brutalized by the nation that captured them. Now, listen, that shouldn't scare you. It should make you pray for your nation. It should make you turn out to prayer meetings, ladies and gentlemen. We should be praying for this nation. Listen, I think I'm going to do this some Sunday. But to far in advance, say, for example, on Sunday the 19th, we are going to have a Sunday morning prayer service, no Bible study, no worship, just on our face prayer meeting. You know who's going to show up? About 5 people like who just clapped right now. Listen, I have to do this someday. I got to do it. Just to take a health exam of the body. Because you know what? Charles Spurgeon said, your church is only as healthy as its prayer meetings. Amen. It's time to pray. It's time to start fasting. It's time to seek God. But you know what? Far too many people are not, they don't think it's bad enough yet. And we need to pray. We need to seek God. Why? Because number one, if our God was a fatalistic doomsday God, then why pray? But He's not. He's a God who restores. And I pray the rapture happens tonight. Wouldn't that be nice? But what if it doesn't? Well, if it doesn't, you better get ready. You better get ready. He says, there shall come forth, and notice what He says, a rod. Circle that in your Bibles, everybody, a rod. That word is a little humble twig. a little thing will come forth from the stem. The word stem means that which has been lopped off at the dirt. The fig tree being cut off at the dirt. Here's a prophecy. A little tiny sign of life is going to come out of the stump. Sound familiar if you have a fig tree and you're trying to kill it? A rod, capital R, in your Bible, reference to deity. Deity will arise from the stem of Jesse. Who's Jesse? King David's dad. From the DNA, from the bloodline of Jesse, of David. So listen, skeptic in the house. 3,000-year-old prophecy says someone really famous, someone's going to be very famous, who is not yet in the prophecy, who's going to come from the line of David, a son of Jesse. These are real, bona fide, historical figures in history. David, Jesse. From them will come someone who is not only very or will be very famous, but what else? He's prophetically announced, there shall come forth. Secondly, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The word branch here means a fresh shoot. The word technically means very green, very, very new, life alive. It will be seen. It will be green. It will be fresh. This branch, again, capital B, speaking of deity, shall grow out of his roots. The word root here is source or ancient source of beginnings. So from God's ancient promise, someone will come who's related to Jesse, who was the father of David. The DNA of the rod will have David's blood in him. And I'm asking the skeptic in the house, or if you're watching right now online, who in the world could this possibly fit in all of humanity? Only one person. If you like it or not, no one else fits. And from him, this branch shall grow out of his roots. The fact of the matter that whoever he is, he has ancient, ancient origins. Now, right in the margins of your Bible, write it down. You're not going to see it on the screen because it just popped into my head. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among all the other little villages of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Whoever is born in Bethlehem comes from God and goes back to God, and that one will be eternal, never having a beginning, never having an ending. Bethlehem. Was anyone ever born in Bethlehem who had a scandalous entrance into the world and was rumored about to be eternal? Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Aren't you grateful to God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has dual citizenship? See, what do you mean? He's eternal from heaven. But he put himself in the body of a human being for us. He associated with us. Listen to Romans 1:3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, number one, was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Isn't that neat? If you draw blood, if you're a phlebotomist and you draw blood, and you take the blood and you put it into a blood analyzing machine, and it begins to break down that blood based upon what you want to know of it. Can you imagine putting the blood of Jesus, bring some blood out of his veins and you put it in the machine and it begins to spit out, you know, his plasma level, his hemoglobin, his white cell count, his hematocrit and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's got this God factor on it. It spits out, Lord. Our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, by, here's the qualifier, the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ. The very verse here that announces in chapter 11, verse 1, is speaking about one who will come from the line of David. He's eternal. And the Bible tells us that this very eternal one is going to die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead. What an awesome statement that is. And just so you don't think we're making this up, Revelation 5:5 says, "But one of the elders said to me," remember John's crying, he's all messed up because he sees the world sold under Satan's power, he's weeping, he's crying, "but one of the elders said to me," this is John's vision in heaven, "do not weep, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of who? David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah in the Bible. And Isaiah 11:1 is, write it down in your margins, speaking about Jesus Christ. Clearly, God's Spirit at work. Now, I want to pause for a moment and take a rather unique turn, and we'll just stay on this for the rest of the evening. You might say to me or ask me, why are you such a big fan and supporter of Israel? Is it political? Politics has nothing to do with it. I don't agree with Israel's politics. I don't even like their form of government. I could care less. The reason why I am a supporter of Israel is because God said in Genesis chapter 12, you better be good to the descendants of Abraham. So there you go. Jesus thought enough of the nation of Israel to have been born there. Number two, isn't it bizarro? Isn't it amazing that the Messiah of the universe, the creator of the world, God himself, came to this world as a Jew? Why did he do that? He could have picked any other ethnic group. That's important to me. Look, if he would have come as a Peruvian, then I would have been all, you know, all right. Listen, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile through and through, but my God's Jewish. My God's a Jew. Think of that. Isn't that funny? He's the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem from the line of David. But here's the deal. The main reason in my time zone where I live is the fact that God's promises, his word will never fail. And I am not about to pick the losing side and be on that losing side. I think you'd agree with me. If you knew a winning side in advance, wouldn't you pick the winning side? What kind of a person who knows the outcome of the horse race puts all their money on the horse that loses if you already know the outcome? What are you, crazy? God says, I am going to revisit Israel in the last days. They're going to be hated by the nations of the world. They're going to be outcast by the world. But I'm going to set it up because I'm coming back to the world and I'm going to land in Israel. That's my runway, Israel. No, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I could care less. I'm asking you, though, to read the Bible and believe it. Because there's such a big moving judgment these days by people coercing other people to despise Israel. You better watch out. You better watch out because, listen, God says, don't you mess with the apple of my eye. You mess with Israel, he says, you're poking me in the eye. Can you imagine poking God in the eye? Bing, 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 bing. And there's going to come a time when God says, that's enough poking me in the eye. How sure can we be about this? Now turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, if you will. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, 1. This is God's word, prophet Ezekiel, written 2,600 years ago? 2,600 years ago? The hand of the Lord came upon me, says Ezekiel, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. So Ezekiel now is supernaturally in a prophetic revelation. This is a trance or a vision. And it was full of bones. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. For thus, so imagine a valley full of skeletons, all disjointed. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Okay, that's a prophetic statement. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Circle that. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Whatever God's going to do, the outcome is going to be that whoever he's talking about, the bones will assemble with skin, and soon you're going to hear about it standing up. And why? Here's the point, people. Whoever we're talking about, whatever we're talking about, it's going to know the Lord. Who says? Bible says. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. Yikes. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Listen, any Marines in here? Any Marines in here? The Marines are called upon to respond from the four corners of the earth. Prophesy to the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of who? Israel. Say it again. What? Israel. Who says? God says. Bible says. 2,600-year-old prophecy. You're reading it right now. God says, they're dead. I'm going to reassemble them. I'm going to put breath into them. They're going to be standing there breathing. Who is this? He says, it's the house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are ourselves cut off. That's the word. At the base, the ground. Ground down to the ground. Nothing left. My people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Tell that to your friends. Tell that to the next person that denounces Israel. Verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Wow, think of it, church, before I keep reading anymore. Is Israel back in their land? They've got skin on them. They've got muscle. They're in their borders. They're back. Here's the thing. There's no breath in them yet. They don't believe. You go to Israel right now, they don't believe. They'll call themselves Jews, and then they'll tell you they don't believe in God. It's the strangest thing you've ever seen. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. That's not happened yet. And I will place you in your own land. That has happened and it's happening now. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 16, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and the children of Israel and his companions. Then take another stick on it and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel. In other words, the kingdoms, the two, are not going to be divided in that day. His companions, then join them one to another for yourself into one stick. That's awesome. You guys, because the book of Isaiah is written at a time when the kingdom's divided into two nations. There's Israel in the north and Judah to the south. God says there's a time coming when I'm going to bring them back. They're going to be one nation, and there will not be two separate sticks. There won't be two nations. There'll be one. And listen, tonight there's one. Verse 20, and the sticks on which you write will be your hand before their eyes, and then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. Ask yourself, skeptic, have the Jews been driven out among the nations? Wherever they have gone, I will make them one nation in the land. May 14, 1948. On the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. That part's not happened yet. We're just in the opening throes of that. The nation is there, the people are there, but they're faithless. Something's going to have to happen to get their eyes to be open to trust in the Lord. Then they shall be one people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, now he's talking about the millennium. That's way ahead. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall all walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there, their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Watch this, and it shall be an everlasting covenant. Church, how long is an everlasting covenant? It's a long time. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that as we go tonight, that you would just be with us as we go. May the joy of the Lord, Father, be our strength tonight. And Father, I pray that this evening, Lord God, that the fact of your word being so awesome, wonderfully true, that here we are at a time living in an age when Israel's front and center in the news. And God, that all that's going on in the world around us, your Bible has been anticipating. So Father, we just commit this night into your hands, and we ask you, Father, in our going, that we would go in peace. And all God's people said.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and you know, our hope is that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. This comes by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself. Or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's just a reminder that our website is full of tools and resources that you can take advantage of. Our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org gives you access to Pastor Jack's video presentations, as well as past episodes of Real Radio. Also, you'll get all the info on the recommended book of the month and weekly devotions. There's also a Know God tab that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God, which provides straightforward answers to what it means to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And if you want access to all this information at your fingertips, we now have the Real Life mobile app with ways to download it for your specific device. So head on over to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.